speaking with specialized agents.
Blog Talk Radio.
Is the numbers, and if you're like thousands of others, your rate is less than what you pay now. And where I come from, paying less means saving money. Call Geico today for a free rate quote. Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Energy efficiency is a good thing. I think we can all agree on that. But how? Well, your local Exxon and Mobil stations are happy to share some ideas. Start with your car's tires. If every U.S. driver had properly inflated tires, over 700 million gallons of gas could be saved every year. There are other ways to energy efficient and save money. For more ideas, visit your participating Exxon and Mobil stations or visit fuelprogress.com. This message is brought to you by ExxonMobil.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program, strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management. Ascani Wealth Management is located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Give Dan a call at 877-578-5788. That's toll-free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors and is a registered representative of Kovac Securities. Dan can help you with money management, security brokerage services, financial services including financial planning, preservation, estate protection, and much, much more. Over the next hour, Dan will share his wisdom on all of these subjects. Now, here's the host of Defending Your Money, Dan Ascani.
And welcome once again to the Defending Your Money show, everyone. This is Dan Ascani. Thank you for joining me. Remember that this show is all about you as the consumer, the investor, and or the business defending, building, and preserving your wealth in this tough economy. We're going to update the Christmas rally that's going underway now. In fact, I was used to hear a commentator on the radio years ago say, up, up, and away she goes. Where she stops, no one knows. That seems to be the case with the U.S. stock market during the Christmas holidays as the market sets new 52-week highs, even some stocks and some indices, two-year highs. And part of the rally is based on the so-called Christmas rally, where we have a seasonal tendency for stocks to rise at this time of the year, and also on some other, well, news events, perhaps M&A, mergers and acquisitions, supposedly up, small business lending supposedly up. That's a good sign. In fact, as the commercial real estate and commercial lending market loosens up, apparently now so is small business lending, and that is good because we've needed that to happen to clear out this muck in the real estate market. If housing recovers and if commercial real estate recovers and investors and businesses get the impression that demand could follow and then we see some hiring in 2011, we could get the economy loosened up here. Now, that, of course, is some good news mixed in with what we've been covering recently here on the Defending Your Money show, and that is the issues in Europe with the sovereign debt problems of the countries like Ireland, Spain, Portugal, Greece, Hungary. Italy's in the news a lot. So this news is good news mixed in. And the stock market is keying off of that and its tendency, as I said, to stage the so-called Santa Claus rally. So we saw the S&P up again almost 9 points today, and the Dow also trending higher, along with sectors like banking, very strong. Gold stocks, also strong, even though gold consolidated today. We had a good rally in a lot of gold stocks. And we're also seeing a rally in the transportation averages and other sectors, other key sectors. In fact, a lot of the sectors that have been lagging are strong at the end of the year, almost as if portfolio managers are picking them up, putting them in their portfolios to show by the end of the year. So as we go through the Christmas rally, we are seeing the strongest sectors being transportations and also banking, very strong. Banking is at a very good rally. Again, one of the laggards, horrible laggard. Banking stocks peaked last April. off the post-crash rebound rally and didn't really start rallying until about 3 weeks or so ago. They went sideways most of the year, correcting and then finally rallying, so we're seeing some strong action there. And as I said, gold stocks, gold, something that people have wanted to own. Gold up even more than the S&P or the Dow this year, and gold stocks having trended fairly strongly higher for a large part of the year, correcting in between, and then now many stocks, gold stocks, are returning to where they were earlier the year. We're even seeing sectors like home builders, which had been a horrible laggard before, picking up steam recently and setting new 52-week highs. And what I think the most amazing thing is the banking sector. This sector had really been lagging and had actually declined over 20% from the April high to the August low and then went sideways. It just, the market just bypassed the banking sector for the longest time. That sector now picking back up steam and reaching the highest point since mid-May. Now, mid-May was when the European debt crisis, centered mostly on Greece, was picking up steam. And there was some carryover to the U.S. banking industry here in terms of their stock, as investors perceived pressure on bank stocks in the face of the European debt crisis. So nonetheless, rebounding now, we are seeing the stock market in the Christmas rally, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government having spent tons of money to stimulate the economy. As you sum up the earnings season recently, 70% of S&P 500 companies beat analyst profit estimates for a record 6 straight quarters, that is. That's according to Bloomberg. So when you see analysts underestimating the rebound in corporate earnings, which I think has surprised most people, how strongly corporate earnings have rebounded, and then you see that statistic, 70% of the S&P 500 beating profit estimates for 6 quarters, that's something that portfolio managers hang their hats on now coming into the end of the year, and they start to pick up stocks. Now, one of the problems, as I've mentioned, in continuing to take a look at some of the markets here and some of the sectors, is that the European bourses, the European stocks, have been lagging. And that's almost true whether you look at emerging Europe or the European Monetary Union, the United Kingdom. Germany tends to be relatively okay, but European Union, emerging Europe, United Kingdom lagging this rally in the U.S. In fact, when you look at China, if you look at the FXI ETF, that's the iShares FTSE China 25 Index, FXI is a symbol, an ETF being a fund that trades all day long on the exchange, almost like a mutual fund. The FXI has been down 6 points from a high of 48 in early November to a low today, the lowest point in a few months, 42.25. And that index has been lagging. We have seen some of the emerging markets lagging a little bit. Also, the BRIC ETFs sideways, still lagging. So most of the action is in the U.S. And that is perhaps largely because the Federal Reserve's tendency to keep pumping up the banking system, pumping up the economy, and the recent extension of the Bush tax era cuts, the Bush era tax cuts, I should say, that gives the impression that the government is still willing to stimulate the economy and the Fed wanting to target the unemployment rate and hopefully bring that down. That's what they feel is their mandate. And all that weighs on investors and portfolio managers wanting to put stocks in their portfolios coming into the end of the year here. Now, that could set up the stage for correction, and I'm going to be watching, as I said before, European stocks and some of the laggards, even China, to see whether we have a global divergence, a non-confirmation of the recent 2-year highs in many U.S. averages, unconfirmed by many foreign averages, and that can set the stage for a correction. Now, most people would think perhaps the U.S. would be leading the trend up or down globally. But if you look back in history, significant lows in the stock market after major corrections have occurred with bullish divergence from foreign bourses or stock exchanges such as the United Kingdom or Europe, meaning that they bottomed first ahead of the U.S. And the same thing has been true of major tops, not everyone, but a lot of them. If you see Europe lagging or foreign stock indices lagging the U.S. in a rally that seems overbought and has lasted a good part of the, well, all of the fourth quarter here of 2010, you see that lagging performance from European or foreign bourses. A lot of times that sets the stage for a correction. So I'm going to be watching that closely. I'm going to be watching the foreign stock exchanges as well as ETFs that track those exchanges, such as the iShares MSCI EMU Index Fund, symbol EZU. That's an ETF that tracks the performance of the European Monetary Union countries, and it's lagging. It is well below its November high, right around the time of the U.S. election, and in turn, well below its January 2010 high. Emerging Europe, lagging, something to keep an eye on. Also, as I mentioned, China, FXI, the China 25 ETF, not only lagging, it's in a downright correction right now, 15% or more, as China has raised interest rates and bank reserve requirements recently to try to curb what it calls speculation. Well, it's been working. The stock market has been selling off. The FXI ETF selling off also. And by contrast, if you look at the U.S. sectors that I was mentioning and compare those to the European and foreign bourses, you start to get a message that, as I said, might produce, I think, a much-needed correction in 2011 in stocks. Now, that doesn't mean we're heading for the hills here. What it means is we're on the alert for what the new trends are going to be in 2011. Let's talk about those after the break. This is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money Show. As always, I thank you for joining me. We have another segment. Don't go away. Stay tuned. We'll break briefly, and then I'll be right back.
Are you worried about whether the stock market will dive again? Are you concerned that another swoon could take away from your retirement and your financial future? Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money Show and founder of Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, Florida. For years, I've been managing client accounts using our proven models. I've been a licensed professional for over 25 years and have steered my clients and subscribers through our research through panics, crashes, and manias, including the crash of 87 and the crash of 2008. If you're considering well-researched and experienced money management, I invite you to call us toll-free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788, toll-free, or go to our website at defendingyourmoney.com for a free, no-obligation portfolio review. You'll be glad you did.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors, Inc. and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA, SIPC.
Are you worried about whether the stock market will dive again? Are you concerned that another swoon could take away from your retirement and your financial future? Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money Show and founder of Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, Florida. For years, I've been managing client accounts using our proven models. I've been a licensed professional for over 25 years and have steered my clients and subscribers through our research through panics, crashes, and manias, including the crash of 87 and the crash of 2008. If you're considering well-researched and experienced money management, I invite you to call us toll-free at 877-578-5788. 877-578-5788, toll-free, or go to our website at defendingyourmoney.com for a free obligation portfolio review. You'll be glad you did.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors, Inc. and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA, SIPC.
To the Defending Your Money Show, this is Dan Ascani. I hope you're having a great preamble to Christmas. and the New Year's holidays and just the general holiday period. I appreciate you joining me as always. I know you're busy, perhaps getting getting ready to visit relatives or have them come to your place and wrapping up that Christmas shopping. I'm just happy you've joined us today because this show, as I've always said, is all about you as the consumer, the investor, and the business, defending, building, and preserving your wealth. In this tough economy right now, everyone's settling down for the holidays, and the market is not giving people much to worry about, at least the stock market, which continues to rise in the so-called Santa Claus rally. That's very typical. We get a rally this time of year a lot of times, the market ignoring a lot of economic events globally. Not that there are significant events with respect to how pressing it was 2 years ago, for example, 2008 during the crash, when the news was unbelievably horrendous. Right now, not quite as pressing. Things aren't crashing, but there are some things going on here to pay attention to coming into 2011 with respect to what trends in the financial markets may break out. For example, stocks are ignoring everything, seemingly just rallying, setting new two-year highs in many cases. But as I mentioned earlier, Europe lagging. But when you look over at the interest rate sector, we've had a sharp rise in rates, whether it be from sovereign bond yields such as European bonds, European government bonds, or whether it be even U.S. Treasury bonds and notes. Sharp rise in rates since the election. And then you look over at commodity prices and gas prices and municipal bond yields, which have been rising because of some of the fears that the municipalities in the country are also drained from the debt load. So we're seeing municipal bond prices the last few weeks dropping, which means yields are rising because bond prices move inversely to yields. So the interest rate you receive on a municipal bond will rise when the price of the bond falls. And that's been happening. And generally, the stock market is not fond of rising rates. As I said earlier this week, you might think that the stock market would be forgiving here, as it is so far, for what we've seen in terms of rising treasury, corporate, municipal, and sovereign bond yields. And that's because yields were so low, at emergency levels even. You might expect them to rise if the economy is perceived to be picking up. You might remember at the top of the show also, I said that some of the headlines are that small business lending is up. And recently, we've talked about what we've learned from many of the real estate investment trust companies, REIT companies, on how commercial lending is loosening up. And there's actually some liquidity coming into the market recently. And those are the good things, and those naturally would seem to push interest rates higher. But on this show, we like to drill down below the surface layer of basic news and information and look for additional clues. So we're going to look past that surface layer conclusion that I just drew there, that many people are drawing, and that is, if the economy is going to pick up a little bit, if small business lending is increasing, if commercial real estate is loosening up and bank lending is loosening up, if the Federal Reserve, is still pumping a lot of money into the economy and keeping Fed-controlled interest rates low, if the government, which it just did, passes the Bush-era tax extensions, which it just did, that would all seem to be reasons for the interest rates to rise. And that's one reason, at this time, during the holidays, the stock market is ignoring the rise in yields. But as we get into 2011, from our view, it's going to be very important to monitor these trends closely, because when you drill down below the surface layer, are yields rising because the economy is going to pick up steam, or are they rising because there are debt problems about ready to resurface for municipalities, from sovereign debt issues, for example, in Europe, where under that scenario, investors would demand higher interest for investing in those bonds to compensate for the default risk. This is the fog that's over the market right now. Are interest rates rising because the economy is picking up steam or because investors want to be compensated higher interest for buying risky bonds or bonds that are now riskier than before? The bonds of Ireland, for example, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Greece. And it's not just individual investors, of course. It is institutions and European banks and Asian banks and U.S. financial institutions who buy very commonly the sovereign bonds of foreign countries. So we're going to be watching, from our view, we're going to be watching early in 2011 about whether this interest rate rise recently is going to be supported by a stronger economy or whether it's because there are debt problems. And we need to watch closely because this rise in yields, which brings bond prices lower, because as I said, bond prices move in the opposite direction of interest rates. So when interest rates are rising, bond prices are falling. That means it could be for those looking to lock in higher yields, ultimately a buying opportunity. But if the problem is debt servicing, municipalities, sovereign countries, even corporations, then you've got to be sure that principal isn't at such a great degree of risk because of a debt crisis that could develop off of this. And we're going to be watching this closely. So in 2011, some of the trends that could develop from our view is a stock market correction, a much-needed correction. Even though the market's strong now, it seems to get in these modes where it moves up almost every day with no volatility, which indicates a certain degree of complacency, which could be dangerous, but nonetheless, stocks moving up on fairly low volume, low volatility. A lot of times that happens at the end of a rally, especially when it's not confirmed by new highs correspondingly in Europe or other countries like China. We'll be watching that potential trend develop in 2011, and I think ultimately it'll create a buying opportunity in stocks. If you're convinced that the stock market is going to rise over the long term, you'd want to buy corrections, as long as they're not too severe. And that's what we use our models for. We use quantitative models. They're mathematical models that extract information from the market, read out on a dashboard, much like a physician reads your lab work, your lab results, your blood work, during a physical to get additional information on your body, or much like they take x-rays. We take an x-ray of the market. And certainly it's not perfect. We don't expect it to be. We're dealing with odds here, not perfection. No one knows the future with certainty because we're still creating it. Therefore, we're trying to get the odds as much in our favor as possible and extracting information from the market, in our view, is the way to help increase the odds of being a successful investor and managing risk over the long term. So as we come into 2011, after the Santa Claus rally, we'll be watching for the catalyst for a deeper correction, or maybe the absence of a catalyst for a deeper correction. If the sovereign debt crisis in Europe does not snowball, or if municipal governments, the municipalities, don't experience the degree of debt problems that many are fearing, and investors move to lock in these higher yields now in municipal bonds, corporate bonds, and sovereign bonds, then any correction in stocks would set up what we feel would be a buying opportunity, because then the market would like what's happening. Interest rate coming back down, the sovereign debt crisis not getting out of control, small business lending up, commercial real estate improving, lending improving, all that in 2011 could be very good for the financial markets, but in our view, not necessarily from these levels in stocks, 1250 in the S&P, for example, 11,500 or so in the Dow, even 12,000 in the Dow. For the market to support further rally from Dow 12,000 without a correction is going to be quite a feat. Corrections are healthy. They set up buying opportunities periodically, and they correct the excesses in the market. Whatever the case may be, we'll be covering all this closely as we go through 2011 here on the Defending Your Money show. I'll be giving you a lot more feedback as the 2011 trends break out. We get out of this holiday period. Meanwhile, enjoy the holidays. This is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money show. I'm here every weekday, 5 p.m. Eastern, and on defendingyourmoney.com. Thanks for joining me. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management, located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Now it's time for you to take action. Give Dan a call and set up your free consultation, 877-578-5788. That's toll-free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. That's ASCANIWM.com. And join us every day at this same time for Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani, on AM 740 WSBO, South Florida's Money Talk Radio. Featuring the very best in business broadcasting, you are listening to AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's only money talk radio. Giving you a the following sponsor program, strictly local post-guest and polish, and this is Capital Concept with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. This radio show is a no-holds-barred, no-nonsense breakdown of every area of the financial market. Liberty International is committed to helping you to protect and grow your assets. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491 or go online to www.liff.info. And now, here's Jeff Shuler.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Capital Concepts. I'm Jeff Shuler, Director of Research here at Liberty International in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium up today. Dow Jones, not. S&P, up. NASDAQ, up. Oil, up. Dollar, up. Euro and world stocks, not so much. Ireland got its rating cut today. Now, I'm not saying that with a smile, but Moody's cut. And I say cut. They annihilate Ireland's rating by 5 notches and warn further downgrade could follow. Investors cut back on their appetite for risk-taking, edging back into German bunds and U.S. Treasury. Moody's move on Ireland follows Fitch's downgrade last week when they cut Ireland's credit level by 3 notches. And, of course, this comes on the heels of Moody's putting Spain and Greece on review for possible downgrade. There's a quote, while the Moody's downgrade of Ireland wasn't any surprise, sheer magnitude of 5 notches warrants a mention. We haven't seen anything like this since the Asian crisis. Ben Sin, senior currency strategist at Brown Brothers Harriman in New York. We foresee ongoing downgrades for peripheral and perhaps even some core Eurozone countries over the course of 2011 as the debt ratios are going to get much worse before they get better. Everyone should be troubled with the situation in Europe. We don't think this is the last of the news, said Matt King, chief investment officer at Bell Investment Advisors in Oakland, California. They oversee $400 million in assets. And on that, the dollar was up against the – actually, it was up dramatically in scope, maybe not so much in size. It gained 0.34 to close at 80.36 against a basket of 10 currencies. I'm sorry, 8 currencies from 10 countries. I tend to get that backwards from time to time. It was up against the Canadian and the Australian dollar. It was up against the South African Krugerrand. It was up its strongest as against the euro. It did also gain against the Swiss franc, the British pound, and the ruble. It did not gain ground, however. It was down against the renminbi, the yen, the rupee, and, interestingly enough, the Mexican peso. The Dow Jones Industrial Index was down 7.34. It closed at 11,491.91. The NASDAQ was to the positive of 5.66, closing at 26,42.97. We saw the S&P gain slightly, 1.04. It closed at 1243.91. We saw gold up $6 at the close at 1375.50. Silver had a good day, closing nicely above $29. It closed at 29.19, up 31 cents. Palladium was up $1 at 7.38, and platinum, which was down for most of the day, did manage to close in positive territory, $2 at 1,697. Again, just about all day long, platinum was down. Oil gained 41 cents at 88.11, and the Kai in Tokyo was down 7.46 to 10,603.83. Interesting way to end up the week. And that's about the best way to put it, an interesting way to end up the week. I'm searching for a word. I'm not the biggest fan of a certain individual who is, let's say, outlandish and is on CNBC, makes a lot of noises, and is a bit of a ham. He likes his theatrics, let's put it that way. You can't knock the guy's success, though, that's for sure. But he said, any dips in gold prices these days are gifts. If it pulls back, buy it. You know, I know what's interesting. Is this guy, not more than a few months ago, was saying, don't touch it. He's a massive flip-flopper. But he said, expects the price of gold to reach $2,000 5 years from now. All right. So you think it's going to move up about 50% for 5 years? That's about 8% a year, 7.5% a year compounded. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if I, you know, if I expect stuff to move 7 or 8% a year compounded, I'm not so sure I would be enthusiastic about getting into it. Now, I happen to agree with the $2,000 mark. I just happen to think it's going to happen a lot quicker than 5 years down the road. The Securities and Exchange Commission has expanded its mortgage probes, which means that they're asking big banks about the early stages of securitizing home loans. They went after Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan, Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo. This is not, I'm going to tell you something, this whole thing about securitizing loans and what was said, who was told what, not going to go away. And it's going to end up costing the bank. Banks have so much going against them right now. And there is so much of a headwind on our financial institutions right now. And when you see that their base assets are being hogtied by a just horrific housing market, it's tough to see how they're attractive. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. President Obama did sign the tax compromise into law today. Here's an interesting quote. While liberals seized President Barack Obama saluted a new spirit of political compromise as he signed into law a huge tax bill extending cuts to the rich, benefits he had steadfastly denounced, along with billions of dollars to help the middle class and jobless workers. Here's a quote. "It's a good deal for the American people. This is progress, and that's what they sent us here to achieve," said Barack Obama, President of the United States, as a rare bipartisan assembly of lawmakers looked on. The package retained first-year tax rates for all taxpayers, from the working poor to the wealthiest. It also offers 13 months of extended benefits to unemployed and to stimulate the economy with Social Security payroll tax cut for all workers. Now, here's what kills me. It says, at a cost, like this is costing something. It's the same as we've had for the last 8 years, but somehow, all of a sudden, this is going to cost something. $858 billion over 2 years. The deal contains provisions dear to both parties. This is real money. It's going to make a real difference in people's lives. All right. Let's put political rhetoric aside. If we're going to put, if it's going to allow people to keep $400 billion this year and next year, for the next 2 years, it's going to allow people to keep $400 billion of their money. If it is a good idea today, why was it a bad idea 2 years ago? Why was it a bad idea 4 years ago? Why was it a bad idea 6 years ago? The people that decried the current tax structure as being too lenient, I want to know if this is a good deal for the American people, if this is economically stimulating, why was it a bad idea before? Politics is bunk. We've had unusual moves in the S&P 500 volatility index. It was down about 10% in the afternoon. It's unusual for the VIX to drop 10% in a day. And it's the lowest level since April, and you're the lowest level in 3 years. But it's unusual for it to be down so much on a day when the markets are flat. What's up? Could be a seasonal factor. But people are just not interested in buying protection. The VIX is down. VIX futures are down only 1.2%. What's interesting is you can buy this VIX thing. People just aren't interested right now. WikiLeaks being attacked by banks. You like that? This WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, told CNBC he's being attacked by banks in Dubai, Switzerland, the U.S., and the U.K. He's being attacked. I'm about to drop the bomb on a major bank, but they're attacking me now. Here. North Korea to South Korea, stop live fire drills or else. Now, if anything would make you want to put money into gold, oil, things like that, it's that comment right there coming out of North Korea. The North warned the South against live fire drills, saying it would hit back even harder than the previous attack that killed 4 South Koreans. Yeah, that's all we need right now. Is a conflagration between North and South Korea. That's all we need right now. All too often, economic malaise is solved by war. Keep an eye on that. And the Black Swan's out again. That's Dean Taleb, saying that both big business and big government should be viewed as evils and threatening the real engine of economic growth, which is small business. They're an anachronism. They are inconsistent and corrupt, he says. in a book called The Bed of Procrustes. They're both very bad, particularly big government. Big government ends up like a socialist state. They end up favoring large corporations that have a lot of employees. That kills growth from small companies who cannot get into Washington. They cannot get lobbyists. Absolutely correct. The problem I have is that Republicans love big business, Democrats love big government, and I hate both big business and big government. I'm not a big hater of big business because, you know, it's what small businesses want to become. I don't hate big business. Absolute power can tend to corrupt. But I am a huge proponent of small business, which is why I look at a lot of things going on with the Fed and say, hey, this will help big business, it's not going to help small business. Unemployment rises in 21 states, up from 14 states showed increases the month before. 15 did not report decreases in jobless rates in November. Nevada has the highest rate in the country, 14.3%. Ouch. The stabilizing unemployment rate indicates that the worst of the recession is over. That's coming from Bill Anderson, chief economist for the Nevada Department of Unemployment. However, the unemployment rate likely remains well elevated for the next year before declining slowly over a number of years, you hope. We'll talk a little about what's going on with short sales. I want to talk about metals and really what's going on in Ireland and North Korea should have you concerned. Right now, let's take a break.
Is the recession over or is the worst yet to come? You've heard all the speculation. Now it's time for solutions. Liberty International Financial Services is helping its clients to stop the bleeding in their investment portfolios and retirement accounts, and even recoup much or all of their stock market losses. Diversify your holdings with precious metal IRA accounts. Invest directly into crude oil without the risk associated with futures, options, or the stock market. Liberty International specializes in cutting-edge but not bleeding-edge investment programs for precious metals and physical commodities that can significantly diminish your sell-side risk. Call now for your personal and confidential consultation with the professionals at Liberty International Financial Services. Call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Don't miss this opportunity. Take action now. Call for your personal and confidential consultation. 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. You are listening to Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services, your source for the whole truth about the financial market. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.lifs.info. Now, once again, here's Jeff Shuler.
Despite a government program designed to streamline and incentivize the process, short sales have not even come close to keeping up with foreclosure sales. That will be about to change. If banks see higher losses from foreclosures than from short sales, they may put more resources into approving these deals, where the borrower is allowed to sell the home for less than the value of the loan. Loss severities on distressed U.S. residential mortgage loans are likely to increase an additional 5 to 10% from the current levels, due to higher loss mitigation and foreclosure expenses and weakening home values. That's coming from Fed. Fitch anticipated increases for each sector's average loss severities and expected this. Prime loans, currently at 44%, looking to increase to 49 to 54%. Alt-A loans, 59%, looking to increase to 64 to 69. And subprime loans, average loss severity, 75%, increasing this 80 to 85%. Now, we're already seeing home prices double dip in a lot of markets. That's expected to continue at least for the first half of this year. One way to mitigate the losses is through short sales. Here's a quote. Fifth, short sales generally experience recovery rates about 10% higher than foreclosure rates. Would it be enough for banks to push it along? Maybe. Services actually take in a lot of money surrounding foreclosures. And so far, the government's HAFA program, Home Affordable Foreclosure Alternative, which pays services cash incentives for doing short sales, has lousy results. Still only in the hundreds of loans. Secondly, pose a big problem. But many big bank services also hold the second lien. Give you a little bit of experience here. recently was involved in a strategic purchase of a piece of property. And the property ended up being bought for about $465,000 plus associated fees, but the price was $465,000. The original buyer bought the home a little bit above that, a little bit above, just over $500,000. But with the rise in the quote value, it was appraised upward of $1 million, actually nicely above that, and they sucked equity out up to about $850,000. They had a second loan of about $250,000, and then a third went even backing that up for about another $150,000, bringing up to about $850,000. So when we went in to negotiate, it wasn't simply with the first position. You had to deal with the second position. You had to deal with the third position. Now, the good thing was the first and second position were the same institution. Third position was a different institution, and they had to be dealt with. Now, good thing is we were able to deal with them in a pretty easy fashion. What the seller of the property didn't understand going in was that, hey, that was theirs to pay. The buyer of the property didn't pay. It was the seller of the property to take care of that. Not something you want to be surprised with at closing if you are trying to sell your property for short sale. If you have multiple leads, you have to know who they're with and what they're willing to take. And are they willing to take? Now, today, given what's gone on, many lenders that are in second or third or worst position are willing to take just about anything. And if they can get it quickly and cleanly, they'll take it and move on. A number of them, by the time it gets to the short sale process, you know, and this home's been in foreclosure, they haven't received any money in 6 months, a year, in some cases a year and a half or longer, they've already written it off. So anything they get at that point is going to be a bonus. But you've got to identify it. You've got to know it going in, and you've got to know what they're willing to take. That was what was crucial. The crucial thing in this purchase, because there was a line drawn by our investment committee on what we're willing to pay for the property. The bank had its own number. Now, initially the bank was saying, well, initially the people that were representing the bank said, oh, our bottom line is 5.25. And we're like, no way. This is not going to happen. Get a hold of the portfolio manager, different story, 435, 440. Going a little bit above that, you get the deal done. It's who you deal with and understanding not only how these different financial institutions work, but who they are, you know, what the actual people are in those departments, and getting to the right person, which is almost impossible. You have to have relationships ahead of time. You have to have a proper reputation. And if you have one, then you're going to get in that door. And you'll not only see property, they'll even come to you with property and say, hey, look, you know, I know you did this. We've got these other properties here. They're not listed. This is what we're willing right now to take for them. Do you have people that can come in? And there you go. All of a sudden, we've got properties left, right, and center that are gorgeous, still in good condition. They haven't been left alone. They've been occupied long enough. You can step in, get a beautiful property, beautiful piece of home, not only much lower, obviously, than where it was a couple years ago, but lower than where they are today, much lower. And it takes the short sale process from half a year, used to be a year, half a year, down to maybe a month or two. And in some cases, quicker than that. If we're bringing cash to the table, we don't have to worry about lenders, whoo, bang, boom, boom, you're done. It's all about the negotiation. And it's all about knowing the right people. I wasn't going to talk a lot about the real estate situation, but it's coming up more and more. We're getting a lot more interest in that area as people realize especially people who have been renting for a couple of years and building credit back up. They have problems a couple of years ago. That they're in good, they're in a good position right now. And if they have a little bit of cash, it can go a long ways. But you don't want to overpay. You don't want to get a house that's going to end up, you know, being a money pit. And you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to spend 6 months in negotiations. And honestly, you don't want a place that's been picked over by 25 other people. Hey, 25 other people that don't want it, why should I? Back to the first part of the program, I started talking a bit about what's going on in North Korea and what's going on in Ireland. Now, Ireland, five credit notches is a lot to get your debt cut. So, as I said the other day, self-fulfilling prophecy. Now that those bonds are non-investment grade and very low non-investment grade, Ireland's going to have, it's going to cost Ireland a lot more money to borrow. Their overhead just went up dramatically. That's going to make it even tougher for them to get out of the malaise that they're in. So almost at this time, expect them to default, devalue, and who knows if they'll be able to maintain a position in the EU. And you've got Greece, and you've got Portugal right on the heels of them, and Spain teeter-tottering, who knows how bad it's going to get there. Bad news for the euro, short-term good news for the dollar, long-term great news for gold. North Korea, though, this is the area that I think could cause the biggest problem. What's interesting is that the Middle East normally is the hotbed. But this guy, Kim Jong-il, he's a certified lunatic. And he doesn't care what anybody else thinks. He's saying that the planned drills are an attempt to save the face of the South Korean military, which met a disgraceful fiasco during last month's clash. And they're not going to let that happen. North Korea should not see South Korean actions as a provocation. That's State Department spokesman T.J. Crowley. He said they pose no threat. It's not about threat. And that's the point here. It's about ego. It's about Kim Jong-il saying, look, I slapped you guys down. I'm going to take you over. You will bow down to me. And now if you try and show anything, I'm going to slap you even harder. I'm the big dog here. And that's what it's about. Will he go to war over it? Absolutely. This nutjob wants it. He sees his manifest destiny as unifying the Korean Peninsula. And if it takes military might to do it, guess what? He's got just about as big an army there in that little bitty country as we have. It's enormous. And they all follow him because the only people that can eat over there are the people in the military. It's the only place to get a job. What is that going to do for precious metals? Straight up. You can't have a war machine without heavy use of palladium and silver. And from a monetary standpoint, safety of gold. It is a currency again, and it will continue. The more uncertainty that you have in the world, the more important it is to own precious metals. Now, if you think that there's less uncertainty today over the future than there was a year ago, hey, by all means, don't invest in precious metals. If you think that our financial services industry is strong and riskless, don't invest in precious metals. You think Kim Jong-il's an easygoing guy? There's no risk? Don't buy precious metals. You think Ireland's safe and secure? Don't buy precious metals. But if any of these factors, you feel the other way, you've got a little bit of a chance left to get in. Like I said, $30 silver is going to be cheap. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this edition of Capital Concepts. Have an absolutely phenomenal evening. And until we at Liberty International do have the privilege and the pleasure of speaking to you again, may God bless you all.
Thank you. Capital Concepts with Jeff Shuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. If you have questions about the broadcast, call 954-202-9491. That's 954-202-9491. Or go online to www.liff.info. That's liff.info.
The opinions expressed on this sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors.
This is AM 740 WSBR Boca Raton, South Florida's only Money Talk Radio.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Chuck Stevenson. There's a report, local media reports in Charlotte, North Carolina, that a woman with a gun is inside our ABC TV affiliate in Charlotte and that the station has been evacuated. This, the ABC TV affiliate WSOC-TV in Charlotte, North Carolina. No reports of any injuries. There was a report earlier that a shot was fired. Situation still going on there, and we'll keep you posted. A victory for the Obama administration. Almost a dozen Republicans joined Democrats in the Senate to pass a cloture or test vote that ended debate on the START Treaty. Final vote is expected tomorrow to ratify the nuclear weapons reduction pact with Russia. Indiana Republican Richard Lugar.
I'm hopeful that Republicans will contribute more votes on final passage.
Senator John Kerry, Massachusetts Democrat.
This is not over. And, you know, we have to count every vote and stay on this and continue to deal with the amendments appropriately.
Tomorrow, the president's to sign the bill repealing the military's ban on gays serving openly. Because of population shifts to the South and the West reflected in the 2010 census, Texas gets 4 new congressional seats, Florida 2 more. New York and Ohio lose 2 seats each in the House. Another wave of that big mother storm, as one forecaster called it, crashes into California tonight. Up to 8 more inches of rain is possible in parts of Southern California. Rains uprooted a big acacia tree that had been in Lori Bernhardt's yard in Brentwood for 30 years. It crashed into the second floor of her house at 12:30 in the morning.
The house shook. There was a thunderous sound, and I have a puppy who completely freaked out along with me.
Looks like gasoline pump prices might not go down soon in one region. Gasoline futures went up in the commodity markets today. A problem at a refinery in the Caribbean contributed to tight supplies in the heavily populated Northeast. Stockpiles in other parts of the country are reported okay. This is ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
I need a printer cartridge, but I don't want to pay a lot.
Well, you're in luck. We guarantee low prices on our ink. So if you find it for less than another store, we'll match it.
What if I find my ink for a dollar?
Well, we'd match it.
How about for a quarter?
We'd match that, too.
How about pocket lint? What if I get it for that?
Absolutely.
Really?
No.
At Staples, your ink is always in stock and always at low prices, guaranteed. And if you find it for less, we'll match it. Staples. That was easy. Price guarantee available within 14 days of Staples purchase. Excludes outlets and clearance. See staples.com for details.
Energy efficiency is a good thing. I think we can all agree on that. But how? Well, your local Exxon and Mobil stations are happy to share some ideas. Start with your car's tires. If every U.S. driver had properly inflated tires, over 700 million gallons of gas could be saved every year. There are other ways to be energy efficient and save money. For more ideas, visit your participating Exxon and Mobil station or visit fuelprogress.com. This message is brought to you by Exxon Mobil.
After many months of delays and uncertainty, Iraq has formed a new government approved by Iraqi lawmakers in Baghdad. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley hailed the news.
The formation of this government is a milestone in the emergence of the new Iraq. It constitutes a resounding rejection of the extremists who sought to derail the democratic process and sow discord among Iraqis.
Craigslist has confirmed that it has removed its controversial adult service section from its international site 4 months after for the U.S. site. There was pressure from attorneys general of several states. Sued by Uncle Sam for allegedly discriminating against black job applicants by screening the credit history of potential employees. Kaplan Higher Education Corp. The EEOC claims in its suit that the screening has a discriminatory impact and is not justified by business necessity. Kaplan doesn't discriminate and checks credit histories of applicants whose duties would include financial matters. Chuck Stevenson, ABC News.
medal was awarded for outstanding client service in the financial sector, it would, without question, go to the Campbell and Kent team of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. But it wouldn't be gold. It would be platinum. In this highly competitive arena, despite the financial sector's huge losses, Raymond James has recorded earnings. Here's what industry analysts are saying. J.D. Power & Associates 2008 Full-Service Investor Satisfaction Study ranked Raymond James highest in investor satisfaction with full-service brokerage firm. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Kiplinger.com noted that while ongoing credit problems have prompted the financial services industry to write down more than $150 billion in asset-backed securities, Raymond James had not marked down any. Forbes.com listed Raymond James as the only investment services firm among the large and mid-cap companies in its 2008 ranking of America's most trustworthy companies. Sandler O'Neill, a New York-based investment banking firm, states Raymond James is successful in bucking the trend in the financial services sector. CNN Money noted that Raymond James' large network of independent financial advisors has brought the company success. Now more than ever, you need the experience, confidence, and unparalleled performance of a dedicated team. For more information or to set an appointment, please call the Campbell and Kent team of Raymond James. Call 800-314-4156. That's 800-314-4156. Or online at financialtalkradio.com. Dwight Campbell and Donald Kent are financial advisors with Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, located at 7280 West Palmetto Park Road, Suite 203N, Boca Raton, Florida, 33433.
The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. This program is brought to you by the Campbell and Kent team at Raymond James Financial Services. Whether you're actively contemplating retirement or already retired, we can help ensure you have the resources you need for the retirement lifestyle you want. Our approach to investing is straightforward. We are dedicated to the success of our clients through quality planning and thoughtful advice. We assist in mapping an action plan designed so they may reach their life-defining goals. We focus on each client's complete financial picture, from planning for retirement to passing assets on to heirs. The fact is, people are living longer and spending more time in retirement than they did a generation ago. Retirement is no longer an end. It's a transition to a new stage of life with opportunities and advantages that never existed before. Your host is Donald Kent, Branch Manager. And now, today's program.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Raymond James, Your Money Matters. I am Donald Kent, the Branch Manager. I'm joined today by this very special guest, our Senior Economist here at Raymond James, Dr. Scott Brown. Dr. Brown earned his doctorate in economics at the University of California at San Diego. In addition, he holds a Master's of Science degree in statistics from the University of Illinois and a Bachelor of Arts degree in mathematics from the University of California at Irvine. Dr. Brown served in the Economic Advisory Council of the American Bankers Association, also a member of the Bond Market Association's Economic Advisory Committee, and he also served on the Governor's Council of Economic Advisors for the state of Florida. Dr. Brown, one of the most highly regarded economists on Wall Street, and I'd like to welcome you to the show, and thanks for joining us today, Scott.
Nice to be with you, Donnie.
Well, I'll tell you, I could really have you on the show for probably 2 hours today to get through all the economic data that's plagued the market. Unfortunately, we only have a half-hour time slot today, but I'd like to really start off with what's been impacting the markets most recently, and that is Europe. Can you kind of just go through what's really going on in Europe, this bailout situation? I think, Scott, what everyone in this country wants to know is what impact, if any, this will have on the U.S.?
Well, to refresh everybody's memory, back in the spring, we started to see a lot of concerns about the European debt situation related to specific countries, in particular Greece, with concerns that it may spread to Portugal early. So on. And certainly the Greece situation sort of hit the fan first. And responding to the crisis, the European IMF put together a 750 billion euro package. That's about a trillion U.S. dollars. It was the backstop for the debt. And what we're seeing now is the countries that backstop being implemented to individual countries. We already went through Greece, and now things have kind of come to a head really with Ireland in the last few weeks. And, over the weekend, they agreed to accept aid and restrictions going forward, the size of their budget deficit and so on. Ireland certainly is a different case than Greece. The huge housing bubble and the banking crisis was actually more severe relative to GDP than ours was. And when the U.S. Federal government lent money to the banks have been repaying that debt back to the U.S. In Ireland, not much different situation. Central government bailed out the banks there. And again, the size is just enormous. So there's some question about whether Ireland is going to be able to even pay off its debt, even though it's been restructured from there. But more importantly, there's also concerns about the contagion. This feeds into Portugal and Spain. Spain is a much bigger country than Greece, Ireland, and Portugal put together. It's more than twice as big as the three of them put together. And as such, represents a much bigger concern for the major banks in Europe that have lent to Spain. And then beyond that, we might talk about problems with Italy as well. So it's really unclear how far this is going to go. Again, there is a backstop in place, but that doesn't prevent these problems as you work through the backstops or towards the backstop. In particular, we're seeing a pretty substantial increase in borrowing costs. Spain just followed with Ireland. That is, if you look at borrowing costs relative to, say, Germany, you're still borrowing euros. Those costs, the spreads are pretty wide at this point. So there may be some eventual package for Spain that could take a number of months to play out. In terms of what that means for the U.S. economy, it means the dollar is going to do a little bit better than the euro short term. There's flight safety, Europe and into the dollar. But it also means that any U.S. firms that are doing business are going to see somewhat slower growth next year. Many of these countries have undergone austerity moves, which means they're slashing their government budgets and raising taxes, which doesn't help economic growth. So a lot of firms, technology firms, that's a big concern that there'll be a slowdown in earnings. And if the dollar strengthens against the euro, then that means that we're going to see a dip in the currency translation for whatever earnings we are seeing out of Europe. So a lot of worries, I think, at this point. And that's offset the mixed positive.
It's really interesting because I think perception is that the U.S., we're the irresponsible ones with our money. We're the ones who lever up into this craziness. Yet Europe, I guess people view them as more conservative with their money. Well, obviously, that's not the case right now when you look at some European countries, the situation that they've put themselves in. But, I think it's interesting, Scott, when you point out that the impact it's going to have on the U.S. is, there's been a certain time where, look, we're still here in the U.S. We said, well,